listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Bow your heads with me. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church. God, we thank you for what you're doing in the next generation. And Father, when we absorbed those statistics and the outlook for the next generation, we are one of those churches that's going to stand up and say, not on our watch. And so, Lord, I pray that as we dive into this tonight, that you would bless our time, that you would give us clarity about what our next move is and how we can partner with it. We love you, Lord. We do it all to tell your story. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. So it was 3 years ago, actually, that we launched the It's Your Move campaign. And in that campaign, and really, if you're really going to lead a campaign, a church capital campaign well, you need to start with a word from God. I think that needs to be square one with what you're doing. You need to know what's next, why it's important, and how to bring the people and resources together. And the best way to find clarity on that is a word from God. And the word that God gave me was out of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read it for us. Out of Isaiah 54, the Bible says this, "Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth into singing and cry aloud. You who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, saith the Lord." Verse 2, "Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes." By the way, that enlarge the place of your tent, that was talking about our physical expansion. But then when it's talking about stretching out the curtains of your dwelling, physical as well, but in a different way. And I'll get to that in a second, but it says, "Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." Those are part of the things that support the structure. And so these are the systems. These are figuring out what the new normal is going to be. Do not spare. Verse 3, "For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed." That was a huge deal for me because this was my first one, a capital campaign to do for a church. I had done other youth programs and youth fundraisers before, but I'd never done anything this big when we were doing It's Your Move initially. But God spoke that to me, and that was a huge comfort. In fact, that whole chapter mirrored how I lived my life for really the last 2-3 years. He says, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. Neither will you be disgraced. You will not be put to shame. You will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore." The shame of my youth was poverty. I grew up in a poor household and didn't have a lot of money. And what God was saying is, you're going to forget all that, because where you're going, and it's not about the money, but it's not without the money. We said that on Sunday, right? And what God was doing is kind of giving me a forerunner, give me a little bit of moxie, like, we can do this. Verse 6, why? He says, "For the Lord has called you." Verse 9, "So I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. My kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy." Verse 13, "All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake." Verse 17, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you should condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord." And when I got that word, that was a roadmap from God, and it's actually the roadmap that's leading us up to this point in time. This is a journey that we've been on, and God was giving me some foreshadowing on how we were going to be ministering to the next generation. It's a huge deal. So this vision, I want you to understand this. The vision is from God. Like, God gave this to us. And we talked a little bit about how the proof is in the pudding. I mean, when we got that word and we did it, we were a church that had, I mean, we didn't have $10,000 in the bank. And when we launched out, look at what we did. And many of you in the room, I mean, you are in here sanding drywall or putting up fake shiplap or assembling IKEA furniture, painting. I see a lot of smiles, and you know, that was actually a lot of fun. It was actually a synergy in the room and in the church at that time. I just loved it. I actually think that we're going into another season of that in many ways. The wonderful thing about this season is it's not going to be like do or die, as we felt towards the end of the It's Your Move campaign. But you know what? God came through for us, didn't he? He showed himself strong. And he was right. We shouldn't fear. And so we launched out boldly. And when we did, God came through for all of us. So our next move, if you haven't heard it articulated this way, our next move is a two-year, three-phase building capital campaign that will make room for the next generation. Now, the wonderful thing about this is we don't have to build the structure that we're going to be in. It's already built. So when we bought this facility, we bought it with a tenant. That tenant was over on my right, your left right now. And that tenant was a school that taught people to be nurses assistants, nurses aides, CNAs, this type of thing. And she was there for 18 years. We actually thought, great, this is awesome. We have a tenant, whatever. I mean, someday if she moves, you know, great, we'll be able to go in there. And if she doesn't, then, you know, or if she does move, then we'll go occupy it. Well, unbeknownst to us, they were having financial troubles. Now, that is one of the things that qualified us to get the loan for this facility is the fact that we cash flowed. That tenant paid $4,800 a month. Well, our mortgage for the church was $3,800. Meaning that, and this is something that I'm going to talk about tonight. You know, Pastor Tommy has an incredible gift. I think he had four or five meetings this week with just random people at church meeting with you. I'm gifted with business. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good at this stuff. And I like looking at an Excel spreadsheet. I like putting the numbers together. I like to see how this thing's going to work. And tonight, what I'm going to be talking about a lot is just family business. So this is something that really wouldn't work on a Sunday because it's not going to be, it's going to be edifying to you guys on purpose. You were selected to be here, but it's something that wouldn't be like a church conversation per se, where I want to give them the word, something that's going to uplift them, get them on. And I love sharing vision like we did, but I want to get into family business. So it's not that we're not a family and this isn't a church that's organic and on fire for God and it's based on that. It certainly is, but every family has family business. Somebody's got to work and pay the bills, and we've got bills. This family has bills that come in. And so back to what I was saying. The tenant, their rent paid for not only our mortgage, but also for all of the utilities, and it put a big dent in the maintenance of these facilities. Well, that tenant stopped paying. I'll talk about that in a second. And what that did was it actually opened up a veiled opportunity. Now, with the Our Next Move campaign, there is three phases. And if you weren't here on Sunday, I'm going to share it. And if you were here on Sunday, I'm going to share it. Because I think that we need to get a real handle on what these are, what the milestones are, and when we go to another phase. So phase one of this, and let's just make the assumption that we get the full $250,000 pledge. The first phase is that we are going to extend our lobby and commons area through to our unused auxiliary space, that's that tenant space, and create a second check-in area. Jesse, go and throw up that slide of the facility. I want to show you kind of a vision for that. To give you an idea, you can see it says young babies and nursing mothers. That currently is the room where babies are in. You can see where over on the left it says family commons area. Some of that is actually where our offices are currently. So we're gonna take down the wall that is the front door for our offices and push back that area all the way to the second wall, the one that bridges up against our new kids area. Well, that room, if you look up there, that's gonna be the youth lounge eventually in phase two. I'll get to that. But that corridor will go all the way down to the area where this tenant, this school, had their registration area and their receptionist desk. Well, that's going to make it so we have two family entrances, one to the very far left where you can go in and you can see preschool and elementary check-in area right as soon as you get in the building. You'll be able to check in just like our check-in station that we have over here, and you'll be able to take your older kids down. These would be elementary age and somewhat older toddlers. If you have younger kids as well, you check them at their classroom, and then you also go down the hallway that says babies and young preschool age check-in area. You go down there and there's babies and then also nursing mothers. So what that's going to do is it's going to put young babies in this hallway who are fairly quiet and that's going to help us during service so we don't have to listen to them. So they can actually, once you get to the other side where it goes from babies to youth lounge, that's a firewall, it's a cinder block wall. It actually blocks out so much of the sound, you really can't hear what's going on. And that's going to be great. Now look at that though. This is, by the way, if phase three was completely finished. If you look at that, I mean, we have three classrooms right now. You're adding five more to the far left. You're making it so that in the reception area, way down on that side of the building, you can look all the way down at Leah Boyd at guest services. You know what I'm talking about? Like the sight line is going to be there, a big long corridor at the front of our church. Well, that's a big deal. Because one of the reasons why we want to go into that other side with kids' classrooms and expand the lobby to do it is because we have a glass ceiling here at the church. We get some young families, and what happens is they try to check in, check out at the same time at one location, and it's a big choke. And I'm telling you, if we have one of those gun show weekends or something like that, it's hard to park, hard to get in, especially if the preacher goes along. My gosh, you know, it just becomes a big traffic problem in the church and out of the church. So by adding a large corridor towards the front, it's going to relieve that. Also, we're going to have check-in stations where you're going to print out your own tickets, yes, but you're going to take your kids directly to their classroom. Those classrooms are going to have locks on them so that way during class they're secure, but you'll check in and check out at the door. That's a system that we want to take care of, and that's going to make it a lot easier to do what we need to do. Currently, for adult, and I also included in their office and administration space. So these are our offices, which are very many. No. And then also just like even like a janitor's closet or the backstage area. Currently, it's 63% of our facility in kids is 36. Where we're going, once you add in this new area, it changes all of your ratios. So the adults are going to have 41% and kids are going to have 59% of this facility is going to be dedicated to the next generation. That's a huge deal. And there's not a lot of churches that actually have those ratios. And I'm not doing it just to like build rooms. I'm doing this so that they have a place. They need a place. You got to make space for people so they can feel welcome. So that's the initial phase one, though, is going to add three classrooms. And that is the three that are kind of touching up against Youth Lounge. So the auxiliary, elementary, and toddler, which will be different during phase one. But it's those three. And that is part of phase one. Okay. At the same time that we do that, we will open up our kids' classrooms. Now, I want to show you the vision for our kids' classrooms again. That is where we're going. Now, this in particular won't look like that until phase two. But once we get into those spaces, we're going to have access for these more rooms. And that's going to be massive. At the same time as all of this is happening, we're going to be opening Chapel Ridge Daycare. Okay, this is a big deal. And I'm going to talk in very much detail about Chapel Ridge and why this is central to this campaign, because all the things that we want to do, $250,000 isn't going to do it. But if we pledge $250,000 and we attain that goal and we open the daycare, there's actually a snowball effect that's going to happen. I'll explain that in a second. Okay, when those milestones are reached, then we'll go into phase two. So, you know, some people were like, are we doing a youth ministry tomorrow? Are we hiring a person, you know, like January? We're going to hire the youth pastor and resource him with a budget when phase one is completed. Now, lest you think it would take 100 years, it really wouldn't. I mean, I'm looking at first quarter and all of this can be open, including the classrooms on the weekend. This is actually something we've been working on behind the scenes. And I'll talk about that in detail as well. Okay, phase two. Phase two renovations of new kids' classrooms are going to make them look so excellent, like I just showed you. And also, with revenue from Chapel Ridge, we will hire the youth pastor, begin the youth program. This is also going to be not just a student pastor, but also a young adult pastor. It's going to be somebody who's, I mean, he's going to be working during the weekends. He's going to be having a middle school classroom. So I know that Cameron, you know, you were looking for something more for her, like a bridge in between this place and kids. Well, this middle school classroom that we're going to have is going to be in that youth lounge that we showed you a second ago. And that'll be on the weekends, wherein during the weekdays, on a Wednesday, we'll have a youth ministry for middle school and high school. Now, all together, they'll be kind of together in this space, but middle schoolers will go back to that lounge space when everything's said and done and have a message that's just for their age range, wherein high schoolers will be here and have a message just for their age range. This is different than the way that I did youth ministry back in the day, but it's pretty effective. That might not be day one, but it will be something that will be something active here at the church. Okay, the Wednesday night programming is also the reason why we're going to be shutting down First Wednesdays in January. Now, I love the opportunity to come together and worship and pray, have a little bit extra time, but to kind of itch that scratch, I want to change our service times on a Sunday morning again. The vision used to be a 75-minute service. I'm going to expand that to about an hour and 25 minutes, so that's 85 to 90 minutes. It's only 10 to 15 minutes more, but what it's going to do is it's going to take care of that desert that we used to face in between the two services, and at the same time, it's going to give us space to be able to do some of the things that we liked on a first Wednesday on a Sunday morning. You know me, I do it anyway. So we might just as well make space to be able to do it. So on a Sunday morning, we're going to be able to have more of the experience of what we were having on a Wednesday night. Not every week, but not every first Wednesday is quite Holy Ghost, you know? Tommy only comes into town so often, everybody. Amen. So the next thing on here with phase two is we're going to have a dedicated room for New Chapel Connect. Now, here's what I want to tell you about that. Here's why this is lumped in with all of this. I need to get out there to the lobby to hang out with people. Pre-service, I don't think anybody holds a grudge that I'm back there preparing. But after service, I'm good. Now, I get attacked by the same people largely, but like I want to get out there and be with the people. And also, I like people. Like, I'd love for you guys to buy me lunch. Like, I'd love that, you know? And there was a little evangelist petitioning there. But no, I mean, seriously, like, I'd love to go out to lunch with people and invest in people. Well, the problem is I'm teaching New Chapel Connect. Well, here's the solution. With a dedicated New Chapel Connect room, initially, we will have New Chapel Connect during the 11 o'clock service. And that's going to make it so people who are new, they've been coming for a while, they can go to the first service and worship God, get the message. And then second service, they can go to the New Chapel Connect room. Pastor Brian will host it. And they'll play the video of me teaching it. And that's going to be great because they'll have a personal connection. I can even go out there in between services and say hey to everybody that's going in. That's awesome. Eventually, we'll build it up to the spot where it's happening during both services so you can go to whichever service to worship, whichever service that you want to for New Chapel Connect. I know some people haven't done it just for the reason that it goes into like the 1:30, 2 o'clock hour. It's like, oh my gosh. And I got to tell you, it is very taxing on me. And so there's a better way to do it is what I'm trying to say. And that's going to make it so that I can be out there with the families of the church. I think that's a huge deal. Would y'all agree with that? So praise the Lord. Next thing that we're going to do during that season is we're going to add an outdoor playground. Now, this is going to be something that will serve Chapel Ridge and those daycare and preschool age kids to be able to go out and have some fun. But at the same time, it's going to be something that serves our kids. So during New Kids, if it's a nice day, why not go outside and enjoy it? How are you going to do that? We're surrounded by asphalt. I have a connection for AstroTurf. We're going to have some AstroTurf put out there, some outdoor play equipment. I mean, we're really going to rival some of the parks that are around here, and it's all going to be fenced in so safe and secure. There's going to be those steel pylons that are filled with cement. It's going to be a great opportunity for our new kids as well as Chapel Ridge to enjoy it. And then think about some of the events that we have here where it's like, where do we put the kid? Oh, great. Y'all go out and play, you know? And so when those milestones are reached, we'll go into phase three. Phase three, we're going to invest in our real estate here by adding fire suppression. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's the little sprinkler heads that are all over the room that you're in right now. So from our cinder block wall, which is the wall that is just before you go into the elementary classroom, this part of the building is suppressed. It has sprinkling. In other words, like whatever the maximum occupancy that you would want in here that fits within the square footage ratios, you can do it. On the other end of that wall, so elementary school squeaks through because there's only so many kids back there at a time, right? But beyond that, it's not suppressed. And when we suppress it, it opens up more possibilities for us to be able to meet there, not only on a weekend. So you saw the five extra kids' classrooms that it opens up, but just think about Financial Peace University or some of the different like curriculums that we want to go through that we can offer over there on Wednesday night. So picture that. Youth are over here. You have adults that are either over there that are taking a class or some small group, or they're over here wearing a lanyard and sewing into the next generation. By the way, for the people in the room, those are the two options for you, okay? Like, we want to serve the next generation. So all things being equal, that suppression is also going to make it so that our occupant load in Chapel Ridge can go up. When we open it, it's going to have an occupant load of 60 kids and round about 8 to 15 adults. We'll be able to go up to 100 people that are going to be able to be back there. But once we suppress, that number multiplies significantly more. It makes it so that we can have larger gatherings back there and also really outfit those two other classrooms. That's why we're holding back those two classrooms until we suppress, because we wouldn't meet occupancy. Now listen, churches break that all the time, but they don't break it at inspection. In order for us to be able to get in there, we have to do this right. Not that this is not a video with any intent. Implied. When that happens, guys, I'll show you the numbers. It's significant. Additional revenue makes the way for New Chapel to create original kids and teen programming. This is curriculum that we've wanted to do. It's in my heart. There's a call on my life to kids. And I want to create some incredible programming here that we become really the model for, not just regionally, but I want some influence with this thing because I want to do it so well. I want the most creative curriculum. I want something that's so engaging for these kids. And then also build that up with high school. What do these high schoolers need? What are they going through? I think that we need to listen to them, probably do some focus groups with some high schoolers, find out the problems and challenges that they're facing, and begin to take that old book and apply it to what's going on in their life. And guys, we will win. We will win huge. We'll also be able to staff to do that. So I'll talk about the specifics about that in a second, but let me just say, this is going to require more people to do it. I've heard a couple people say that it's amazing that the small staff that we have were able to do what we do. And I got to tell you, not to break my arm, pat myself on the back, but that's very true. We're very lean. Now, we can't do everything that we'd even like to do. But at the same time, we take ground, everybody. And we're good stewards of your tithes and offerings as they come in. I shared with you on Sunday that there are 131,303 people living within a five-mile radius. 131,000 people, guys. And 23% of that is under 18. That's just 12.9% of the total population. That means that there's 16,938 teenagers, 13,261 children within a five-mile radius. All that to say, if we do this well, the growth potential really is unlimited. If we do this well, and I tell you, in my small town, we had a revival. I don't know how else to put it. The town was 1,200 people, and the church was 1,500, sometimes 1,800 people. We had 300 people inside my youth group. That was bigger than my high school. It was a real revival. And I tell you, in a small town like what I grew up in, you saw people walking across all different ways down that hill. You remember that? Going across that bridge, and people were like, what's happening in Nuevo? A movement of the next generation was happening in Nuevo. And when it happened, it built that church. So it's not just that, like, they're going to win, but we're going to win because we're going to be a bigger church that can take care of them, that can supply for them with the revenue from that, treat them a little bit better, give them the things that they need to do to be able to overcome in this area. Kanawha Hills is right down the road. Comstock Park is right over there. Unless you think that Sparta or Grant or some of the other schools in the metro are so far away, they're not. They're right around the corner. And so the potential is massive, guys. All that to say, and I want to show you this numerically, our church can do this. Our church can actually take this on. I want to share with you some numbers. And this is not to, like, take our inventory or anything like that, but the median income in Kent County is $61,125. So that's the median income inside our county. The average earner is making that. Some of you are like, I'd love to make that. Well, some people are a little bit older and they're at the most lucrative part of their career. Some people are in the middle and lost their job, and some people are at the beginning and they started out great. So it's a median of everybody, somewhere around $61,000. With that being said, the average family size is 2.64 people. Now, I realize that, like, how do you judge a 64th of a person? The reason why you keep the point on with this is because when you're dealing with a median, and then you use that number, which is an average, it actually will give you a clearer picture of the people. So we'll round here in a second. But average family size. Okay. Now, with those two things being true, New Chapel at the end of last year was somewhere around 230 people. We go through a summer slump like every other church in Michigan because everyone's like, bye, going to Grand Haven. And so what happens is we recover in the fall. By the time we hit January, everybody's back to normal because we went through New Year's resolution. We said, my God, I'm never going to do that again. We acted crazy. Yeah, I know. And so what happens is you start out in January. Our biggest growth season is from January till about May or June. We actually grow a little bit in June, and that's not typical in Michigan. But all that to say, if you say that we're about 230 people, and you say that the average family size is 2.64, right? What that comes out to is 87.12. This is where we'll round and say about 87 people with this type of income. Y'all tracking with me still? Okay. That means that the 87 families in our church who are making this amount of money will actually make $5,325,284.40, roughly. I'm not doing this to count anybody's money. I want to show you something. The tithe for this should be $532,528. To let you know, the revenue from the worshipers at New Chapel, okay, is round about $215,000. So far less than half of this number, okay? Now, if we had 100% tithers here at New Chapel and we had that number, there'd be no Our Next Move campaign. We would have already moved a long time ago, okay? We would have been able to not only open Chapel Ridge, hire a youth pastor, be able to start the youth program, but we would be able to scholarship 100% of the people of New Chapel who have little kids to be able to go over there, and we'd probably be working on the elementary school. And so the tall and short of it is, this number doesn't come in. I'm just going to put down $215,000, which is what is actual, projected, okay? And so this is massive, guys, because this is not the Our Next Move campaign is not just our grab at cash to do what we should be doing. Shouldn't you guys be doing that anyway? I'm telling you, we're frugal. We are frugal. And at the same time, we have to face some of these numbers. Okay. At the same time, I want to share this statistic. If you're 50 or older in Kent County, and this is a Kent County specific, 124,831. If you're 50 plus in Kent County, this is the average amount of money that you have in the bank, not in investments, in the bank. You're thinking like, well, that'd be nice. Listen, it's not counting anybody's money. What I'm saying is the average 50 pluser in Kent County has that amount of money. That means that in what I did was I did typical ratios to figure out how much of our population, this is a very low number, but 18 is what I came up with. That means that there is 2,296,890 in the bank, liquid. Now, let's just say that that's completely wrong because we're a young church and that those ratios don't even pan out and everybody that we have over 50 is poor. Great. Trek with me for a second and let me just say that, like, you look at that number in the bank and you look at that amount that's going to be earned by our people this year and you think $250,000 is so doable for this church. And like I shared on Sunday, it is 60 people giving $40 a week. guys, I'm just sorry, like anybody can do that. Anybody. And so I want to show you that because I want you to see we can do this. Our people, statistically, we're in this world. And so when we all come together, that's where we're going to see some pretty cool things happen. Now I want to take a little bit of a caveat here and just answer a question that I think I've heard it, but also like I think is probably in people's minds, which is this. Why haven't we done more outreach? Why haven't we seen more of the things that we even did back at North Point? New Chapel has had to prevail through some really significant setbacks. We had an HR change, and when that HR change happened, annually we lost $101,368 in tither revenue. Additionally, when the tenant left, we had to evict that tenant. They stopped paying their rent. And from, was it June they stopped? June, and yeah. And so we evicted them, but then they countersued us. And so what we had to do was spend money on a lawyer to be able to defend ourselves, and we did in a beautiful way, in so much that we settled for the full amount that we were deserved and won. And so when we settled that amount, that was great, but it was actually trying to make up some things. Now, I specifically wanted to do this in this context to let you guys know, for no other reason than the fact that the people around you have skin in the game, but I didn't take a paycheck from July until December. And in fact, money that I had saved to do my house, I donated that to be able to float the ship. Now, the staff didn't know that when I was doing it. When everything was said and done, I made everybody aware so that everybody was on the same page with why we were running a tight ship. And in specific, I remember one staff person was just crying because they felt bad that they didn't know, you know. But, you know, in the midst of all of that, we made sure that our staff was paid. We made sure during all of that that the severance was paid. We made sure that we didn't tell the staff until afterwards. That was the integral thing to do. When you see New Chapel go through a hard time, you'll have a hard time seeing that New Chapel's going through a hard time. Because I get in faith, I steady the ship. That's what I do. Now, I'm not saying that for any other reason to say there's a reason why we haven't done some of the things that we were known for back when we were in the school, and there's a reason why we need to take an advance forward to take some ground. So that was actually a long period of time. And then even this year, there were three pay periods that we gave up this year. Just because we love the ministry. We love what the Lord is doing. We love this place. This house means everything to our family. And what we want to do is truly do the outreach. Truly reach out to the next generation. Truly affect people's lives. Okay. God gave me the vision for this daycare. And from the beginning, I envisioned kids' classrooms, youth ministry, all of these things. So the day that that tenant had moved out, I walked through it with Pastor Brian and I, and we walked through, and we ended that tour and went back into preschool. We got into preschool, we were just talking about it. I'm thinking, I got to find another tenant, and I'm going to have to hit up Ben Pitcher. He's a realtor, commercial realtor that helped us get this place. And Naya started to talk about something, and I rudely interrupted her because I felt like I got struck by lightning. We got to do a daycare. And I got to tell you, when I hear from God, it's pretty much like that, okay? It's like getting hit the side of the head with a book, okay? And so it resonated with them right away, but I just started to talk it out, and eventually let Naya finish her sentence for everybody that's in suspense. But I know that God has called us to do this. It's a huge deal. Now, from the beginning, and you can ask them, the vision was the daycare is going to be the thing that's going to make it so that we can have a youth program, so that we can have more classrooms, so that we can, and I went right down the line with so many of the things that I just said, but here's the problem. When I went in front of everybody, I felt as though because the tenant had gone, and that was not something that, like I made even a big deal when we were buying this facility, that I was just going to take the blows, you know, and I'm just going to fight behind the scenes and the staff with me to make this thing happen. Well, the problem is this. We absorb blows all year long. And finally, we were, I guess this was the week before I went on my hunt in October, and I'm just like, God, what's happening? I know that you called me to do this. And I'm going through, and I'm trying to rehearse this deficit, and I'm trying, how do we take care of this? I want to go forward. This is, when the daycare happens, it's going to unlock a ton of things. God, how do I do this? What is this going to look like? What's going on? And this holy unrest had been really brewing in me since I heard about the daycare. Knew it was all for the next generation, but the way I communicated it to you was, we're going to have access to those classrooms, and it's going to be a front door to the community, and it's going to help us with this little money thing that we got. Because I have a burden of conscience to not put our issues on you. And so I'm going through all of this with God. I'm like, you know, people don't want to give to turn the lights on and the heat and fix the roof. I mean, but that's not what I want. And it hit me like a thunderbolt again. There's no problem that a church faces that a vision from God can't take care of. And it hit me. I said, Kaya, it's all for them. It's all for the next generation. So we have to communicate that well. And over the next, I'm telling you, in the next 5 to 15 minutes, Kai and I wrote down the roadmap for what this was going to be. We knew that we had to communicate this in such a way that people got it. Being somebody that has the disposition towards business, I'm best suited back in some dark, cold office, you know, looking over spreadsheets and working on things. And I had to realize something. That although I'm good with those things, I'm doing that part of it because I actually don't have the administrator I need. What I'm uniquely gifted for is to lead. And so I knew I had to bring this whole thing before the people. And I'm telling you this portion of all of it, instead of bringing this out, now this is going to be on the website, anybody can watch this, but they're going to watch it with the amount of time it takes to really say it well. But it's that in humility, I've asked God, God, did I miss you on this and communicating it? And all that I feel is this, is that when he told me about the daycare, he didn't tell me until the day that our tenant was gone and we walked all the way through it. And I asked him about that originally. And what God said was, I never wanted you to be accused of kicking her out for financial gain. And so, guys, I don't know right now, today, why the Lord didn't give me this thing until the third week in October. And I've been working all year long. The staff's been working all year long. Come on, Jesus. Like, tell me that way back in February, right? I don't know why. But what I'll tell you is this. God is good. And I don't have to understand everything, but I know he's got my back. All things being equal, this is something that we need to do. So let's talk a little bit about Chapel Ridge. I want to show you how our next move in Chapel Ridge is going to remedy the debt burden, it's not debt burden, but just the deficit burden that we have so we can't breathe, we can't take another step, and then also to be able to accomplish reaching the next generation in a material and fundamental way. I want to show you a break-even analysis for Chapel Ridge, just text of it. I can show you the Excel spreadsheet. I'll be sending it to you. But with 60 kids at Chapel Ridge, the break-even showed that we'll have $56,700 in revenue each month. Of that, $20,800 in the black profit each month. Just want to let that sit there for a second. Our tenant paid us $4,800. When Chapel Ridge is up and running, after everybody's paid, after all the insurance is done, all the utilities, this ministry is going to have $20,800 a month. That's the monthly in the black. That is, by the way, $680,400 in the black profit yearly, $3,402,000 in the black profit over 5 years. That's a huge deal. Now, I told you before that when we open up additional classrooms, it's gonna open up additional opportunities. So when we fire suppress, when we sprinkle that area over there, we can actually jump up to round about 113 to 120, depending how we divide it all up. But I want to show you the break-even analysis on this with 113 kids. That is $107,350 in revenue each month. By the way, that's half of what the church takes in currently with revenue. That is $39,600 in the black profit each month. You're like, Pastor Joe, I thought that we're a nonprofit organization. You're right. Which means that there's no one at the top that's profiting. Just like a Goodwill would have stores that they sell things or Salvation Army, this is going to be the thing that funds so much of our ministry while we're ministering. Let me just say about Chapel Ridge for a second. Because we're not for profit, we can offer lower rates than everyone because our profit margin is still greater because we don't pay taxes. So what happens? More money goes into ministry, directly to ministry. And that is 1.288 in the black profit yearly. That's a huge number. In 5 years, $6,441,000 in the black profit over 5 years. Chapel Ridge, when it opens, is going to be something that can fund the operations of this ministry. Not just what we're doing now. We're existing. I want to advance. And for the next generation. I want to show you back to the 60 kid, just as a for instance. $20,800 is in the black profit each month, but that doesn't include their chargeback for rent. So they're part of the same organization, so it's called a chargeback. It's an accounting term. Basically, that $4,800 that our tenant was paying, that'll be charged back to New Chapel through our accounting program. And that also doesn't include the fact that Chapel Ridge is going to tithe to New Chapel. I get it. We're one organization, but the church currently models the tithe. Currently, we send 10%, a dime out of every dollar goes outside of these walls, okay? So that's $8,500. So that $20,800 actually is $33,800, which is $405,600 a year. I know some of these numbers are just like drinking from a fire hose. I'm going someplace. Remember this, with 30 kids only, it's $811,200. That means that every dollar given in our next move actually generates an additional $3.24. You give a dollar, and we open Chapel Ridge, $3.24 comes back. We're not just going to talk about the parable of the sower. We're going to show you the parable of the sower and why God's church needs to prevail in the midst of all of these opportunities. So I want to show that snowball for all of you guys, which is the fact that $3.24, and that's more than an additional $6.50 for every dollar pledged when we have 113 kids. Meaning, when we open up the center to 113, now every dollar, and what I did was I divided those large numbers by $250,000, which is what was pledged, right? $6.50? So for every dollar, that's just within 2 years. It continues on. Chapel Ridge is still doing its thing long after the campaign ends. But for every dollar that's given, it generates $6.50 during that campaign. Guys, that's insane. That's insane. Why own a building and have it sit empty all week long, but for 3-4 hours on a Sunday morning? And take your precious tithes to do it. I just think that God's house should be doing some more things, that we should be ministering to these families. That's what it is about. We see with God, it's never a bargaining thing, you know, where it's like I'm trying to get something from them, they're trying to get something from me. It's not just a win-win, it's a triple win. So they're going to win because they're going to have the cheapest meaning the lowest cost childcare in Grand Rapids. We win because it's going to meet our needs. God wins because the kingdom's going to be expanded all over Grand Rapids. Do you see it? Give the Lord a hand for that. That's a huge deal. Look at how God has set us up. Our next move is for the next generation. I want to be very clear about that. It is obviously for Chapel Ridge to be a great front door for the community. It benefits us with revenue. But we are a not-for-profit, meaning we're in ministry. So the kids' classrooms. The space is going to make it so we can adjust our systems. The systems are the biggest thing that we need to fix, but also have rooms to expand. The congestion. We also need to buy tech and FF&E. Then the student ministry. I said it before. The youth pastor, the student lounge, the weekend middle school classes, the weekday, Wednesday night, all youth middle school and high school, the young adult ministry, the budget to pull all of that off. Yes, but our next move will have a profound impact on all of New Chapel. Why? The residual money, the revenue, the residual revenue that comes in after we launch Chapel Ridge, we'll do a couple very important things. I need to pay the staff what they deserve. Nobody has insurance. Nobody has any benefits. I got to do this for them, but I'm going to do it not with your pledge dollars. I'm going to do it with the residuals that come from Chapel Ridge. We need to hire a graphic designer and a media staffer because I need to begin to take Jesse's job and divide it so he can focus on building that team and having more incredible worship. Also, he's going to be leading worship for the student ministry, right, on Wednesday night. So then I need somebody who's going to be producing all the graphics and media to make sure that we can make it happen for the church and for the youth and for the kids. It's good business. We need to hire an executive pastor. For all of my skills, I can be fairly absent-minded, and my communication skills, although pristine, I haven't showed them to you. Here's what you know about me if you spend any time. If I'm hanging out with you, I'm not on my phone. Have you ever noticed that about me? You have my full attention. If I'm going to be with you, I'm not going to be playing around my phone. I'm going to talk to you. Well, in a society that's all about the phone and connectivity, I've kind of aged out of what is appropriate now. But I love people. I am in this thing for people to connect with God, be raised to new life in Christ. I need some people around me to help organize that so that I can have the best access and the most meaningful. We're going to grow to a size where not everybody can know me, and it's not so important that you know me. I've said that before. There's loads of people that know me, and they're tore back, and chiefly my extended family. So knowing me is not like the thing that's going to push you over the edge. It's knowing somebody, but I do have an influence here, and I want to be in your lives. So an executive pastor is going to help me to administrate this church, help me with operations. You know, we do so well with Brian and Naya being over the volunteer ministry. In fact, can we just give them a little props for... But during the week, I've got them working on daycare, I've got them working on other things, and so there isn't the time to perfect some of the systems that we know that they're broken. We're upset that they're broken too. We can't breathe. We got so much to do that we gotta expand the team out. We gotta get a little bit of relief in some of these areas. So we're not planting a daycare anymore, right? It's open and we're able to do ministry, which is what we're called into. We can hire the other roles for the daycare, the director, all of these different things, but we need to be ministering to God's people. Also, I wanna hire a discipleship pastor. This would be a person who does weddings and funerals, hospital visits, ministry counseling, and small group leadership. He'd administrate all of the small groups. If you've ever been in a counseling thing with me, it's not that I'm bad at it. It's that I get into your life, and I'll give you my full undivided attention, but I've got things over here that I've got. I'm uniquely gifted for this. I can do that, right? Guys, I got to get in my sweet spot, because when I am, that's when the church takes its biggest leaps forward. When I'm successful during the week, effective, I should say, during the week, that's when you guys are going to have an effective spiritual life. It's when you're going to get what you need from your church, and that's a huge deal. All of that will be done from the residuals, but I need you to see that. And my business people right now, you get it. You understand. This makes a ton of sense. So, again, the reason why I invited you here is not because tonight's the night I want you to pledge or to give any special offering. It's not about that tonight. Three things I do want you to do. The first one is give, just not tonight. This church needs to see you model this thing out. I'm not going to give you an amount. You know the amounts that we're asking for. You have to hear from God what your part to play is. I remember talking to your mom, Mary, about building campaigns and how it can be so sleazy, ooey gooey. Kaya's grandpa doesn't go to church to this day because his church burnt down in Kentwood. Was it St. Mary Magdalene burnt down? They asked him for money and he said, my gosh, you know. So I do need you to give. Let me tell you why that's important. In Nuevo, I remember being at the bus stop and looking over at my buddy Raymond the day after Halloween. He had a pillowcase that was so full of candy, he could hardly close it up. I said, where in the world did you, because we go hit the trailer parks because you can just rapid succession. Sometimes it's better candy there. You ain't got anything, pretty generous, you know? Like, and I was like, where'd you go? Did you go to Brookhaven? You know, like, they got good candy, you know? And he said, no, I went to this thing called Halloween Extreme. I remember I was with my dad one time, and it was in the summer, and we pulled off, and there was this wild guy. He was the children's and youth pastor. I didn't know this, but I was like 10, 11 years old. It was a man named Eric Harvey. I'd later marry his daughter. They were doing a car wash to raise money for missions. I remember driving up M37. I was going towards the cloud because we were on welfare medicine, right? So we had to go all the way up to the cloud. That's what we call White Cloud. And we went all the way up there. We called it the cloud for like a really good reason. Like everybody got it who lived there. But I remember driving past it and seeing the banners outside a church for an Easter egg hunt. June 5th, 2004, after a decade and a half of hearing about all the outreach that they were doing, I darkened the door of that church 15 years after they were already influencing my life. I walked through, rededicated my life to Christ, told a woman named Cheryl Plasek about it, and from that moment on, I've been on fire for God. That Sunday, I remember sitting in church and the pastor was making some joke about giving and, you know, let's play a good giving song. And I thought, you greedy preacher. No. It was the generous gifts of that church that put on those big events and paid for the staffers to do it, that made it so there was a room that was cool that I could go into as a 17-year-old kid and let my guard down. There was a place, there was an altar that I could go to. When they played that old Big Daddy Weave song, that there's a place where religion finally dies, and I saw a vision of me preaching the gospel. I didn't mean to do this. I'm just trying to give you some context about it's not about the money, but it's not without the money. I was so wrong to have those feelings about that guy. So wrong. Because it's people that have received so much freely that are called by God to freely give. And so that's why I'm not putting like a number out there right now, because like that's not my goal. In fact, if anything, I feel that, like, I've got your heart. I know that you're with me. You hear from God and then just do it. Give. I need you to continue to serve. If for some reason you've cut back, I need you to jump back in. I need you to jump back in. I need you to serve like a crazy person. At all of those events that I went to or heard about, there were all kinds of people of every different age, and they're wearing their lanyard and loving on people. Think about Britney's grandma, who would make the little balloon outfit. She was on oxygen, you know, making balloon, thinking, I don't know if that pops, if it'll spark, you know, so I never got a balloon animal at that church, but I always admired her. And you just serve. And then the third thing is this: you are my influencers. You're not here because you make so much money or because you're just social. There's a mix of all kinds of people in this room, but you are relational. You have access to people that I don't have just because of the time. Even if I was out in the lobby and wasn't, you have way more access than I have. So I need you to help me with this. I need you to convey to people the heart of why we're doing this. And then lead the way in generosity. So when we do Pledge Weekend, I need you to pledge. When we do Miracle Offering, I need you to give. Whatever that is, if it's a dollar, if it's $10,000. Some of you in the room can and probably should give $10,000. But let me just tell you, I'm not putting a dollar amount for the reason that you need to hear from God. When everything's said and done, I don't want you to feel pressure and be like, yeah, he made us. No, I want you to hear from him like, Jesus called me to do this. Huge deal. And then this weekend, we'll be talking about the next generation, how we're going to reach it. The following is the Pledge Weekend. And then we'll obviously on December 1st, we'll be having our miracle offering. Be here. Be engaged in this place. This will be, mark me, the tipping point for the church. We'll all look back to this, be like, that it was that small of a room. You guys were trying to figure out what, just 250. When we start talking about some of the things that God has for us in the future, it'll blow our minds, all of us, all of us. But this, mark me, God, the God of heaven, blesses churches that get behind the next generation. Can I get an amen? Zechariah chapter 2, Shout and celebrate, I'm on my way. I'm moving into your neighborhood, saith the Lord. They will become my family. I'll live in your homes. Something's afoot in this holy house. God is on the move. Can I get an amen? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the time that we had here tonight. We thank you for the vision that you had. This is such a God thing that you would give this. You use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. That God, you truly use the weak to lead the strong. And God, I thank you that this is a wise plan beyond my years, beyond my study, that God, we're going to be able to prevail for these kids and for these teenagers so that we can all see the glory and goodness of God. We love you, Lord. We do this all to tell your story. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.